Hallelujah. Welcome, Abundant Life Center. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your kindness, your faithfulness to us, that your mercies are new to us this morning, O Lord. As many have said, Father, they chase us down, they overtake us. Father, we receive them today. We receive from your word today. You feed us food like a mama bird does a little baby bird. So we open wide our mouth, we receive from you. Instruct us today in your ways. Instruct us in your thoughts, in revelation, and knowledge. Pull back curtains so that we can clearly see out. Open up windows and doors of revelation that come to us, Lord, and we might see your greatness, your wonders, Father. The salvation that we grasp a hold of, Lord, we'll lay hold of it in the name of Jesus by faith. So we thank you for this word in Jesus' name. As I clued in last week, we're going to start the book of Galatians. We just came off of the book of Romans, but Romans is a much later book, you see. Much later, as in maybe 5 years, 8 years, and I'm not coming from any theological background with this, but it was a much later book. Paul was in, when he looks at Galatia, Galatia is a region. And as we begin to read about this region where there is, if you think about your county, let me just put it in a where we live, our home place. We say, oh, your county. Well, Shiloh's in your county. Shiloh is a little burg, a borough, a little, you know, Windsor is in your county, and Redline is in your county, and, you know, we have the city of York, okay, that's the area that we're familiar with. That's where our seat of government, in a sense of York City, it governs area. If you get into trouble and you have to go to court, you're going to end up down at York County. You're going to end up in the city, right? And these are things. So I don't know, it can be confusing for us when we begin to read and you see Paul's travels. He goes to 9 cities. Where does all this start? We're getting to the book of Galatians, but I want you to understand, what is this region, you know, to in Asia, left of Asia? This region is from Gaul. Gaul was conquered. You might have heard about, you know, in ancient history, Gaul and the Celtics. They were tribal. We, to this day, have problems in the world due to tribal conflicts. Yeah, I mean, you know that. In Africa, tribal conflicts, rule and reign. In areas of Greece, tribal conflicts. In Russia, tribal conflicts. There are tribal conflicts. The gospel of Jesus Christ sets us free from these kinds of things because we no longer identify with a tribe anymore, but we identify with heaven, with Christ, with God who created humanity. Tribal conflicts come from flesh, from men identifying with one another, and then they come together with a common cause, and then they begin to find ways of, this is who we are. But we know in Christ Jesus, you are who you are because of him. So that is a bigger picture of things. Here's this area of Gaul, conquered. Greeks conquered them. All these nations were all conquered and grew back and conquered and grew back and conquered and grew back. This is what we know of old time history, medieval history, ancient history. Since the fall of man, men have tried to rule over people. This is going on in countries now and sneaks in. You know, the woke generation wants to rule over your life. They want to control your thinking. They want to control what you believe. They want to control what you wear and how you wear and what you look like. See, these kinds of things are popping up in society all the time. Paul's extremely cautious of this. When he's latched on to the gospel of Jesus Christ and he's arrested, he somehow has a very, very clear picture of who he is. And it's a revelation, if you don't mind. And therefore, he went about preaching this. What did Christ do for him? We're going to see that. This is a word of testimony. We heard a great word of testimony from Brother David yesterday. If you don't mind, we use this phrase, straight from the horse's mouth. You know, I'm not even sure I understand what that means, but I did see Mr. Ed when I was young. But I'm just saying, straight from the horse's mouth, this is it. I can tell some of his stories. As a matter of fact, I saw his wife yesterday at a party, and she elaborated on some of the story in parts that he didn't tell, which was really kind of fun and interesting because you tell your part of the story. Well, that brings me to something. When we talk about this area of Galatia, we're most familiar with Galatia by reading the book of Acts. This is where we're introduced to this area. Acts tells us, but who wrote Acts? Luke wrote Acts. Who was he writing to? Theophilus, Bible test. We're seeing, you know, if people remember, his dear friend and colleague that we don't know much about, maybe there's more about it than I know, but if you know more about Theophilus, did you ever meet Theophilus, Paul? Never met the guy, right? We don't know who he is, but he must have been an esteemed colleague of Luke, and Luke must have loved him enough to take the time to gather evidence and documentation to write to Theophilus. And when he opens up the book of Acts, and that's, yes, this has everything to do with Galatians. Stand by, I'll explain it, it'll become more clear. When he wrote the book of Acts, when we open it up, and Brother Dan was referring to this last week, this is the second, this is what he says in the book of Acts when he opens up, the second time I'm writing to you, Theophilus, because he wants to give him everything, all the historical information he knows. And in his documentation, he's a doctor, we know this, but to me, he's a historian as well. He collects all this, accumulated all this information by talking to many people along the way. You know, you don't even get introduced to Luke. Here's Luke writing this letter, and he doesn't even appear in Acts until the 16th chapter. When he says we, he's saying me. When I'm saying me and Paul are sitting together, that's what I mean. I mean me. Me and Paul, we're sitting together. So that doesn't even pop up until chapter 16 in the book of Acts. You're halfway through it before you're even introduced to the writer. From that point on, when you think about it, from that point on, he has eyewitness testimony of the things that are happening in Paul's life. His story from that point on is very accurate. But before that, he's collecting information, so you have his view of the story. So a lot of this thing that's happening in the book of Galatia happened during the time that he's collecting information and he's writing to Theophilus. So sometimes that confuses people. They think that this doesn't quite match that, but it really does. When you look at each part of the book of Acts, when you hear this eyewitness testimony, and that's just what we're hearing in the book of Galatians, Paul is telling his story of his life, like Brother Dave was telling his story of his life and how he met Giovanna and how God had blessed him and how his house was full and his table was filled with children and how he met a wife who loves God. He's telling an eyewitness story. I could tell that story again, but it just doesn't mean the same. I could tell you what he said as a witness because I was sitting there. I was listening to him. And I could retell this story. Luke, in the same way, collected up all this information, but he doesn't really step out of Acts until we see his person, him talking about being on the ship. He's talking about traveling with Paul. We went here, and we went there. And then at some point in time, he stops traveling with him. And he said, they did this, and they did that. We pay attention to those things because then we understand when he's with them and when he's not. You'll see that constantly in the book of Acts, beyond chapter 16. Let's get back here to Galatia. So Galatia, chapter 13, before he didn't know Luke in chapter 13 of Acts. Not Galatia, chapter 13 of Acts. Where's he going with this? This is when Paul is with some other men. They're fasting and praying, right? And the Holy Ghost says, separate from me, Paul and Barnabas. You know that. There was no serious mission endeavor in Paul's heart until that point. But he was preaching and teaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ. From the time he got up from the ground, I liked what Brother Dan said yesterday. You know, I probably used to say this once upon a time. You know, we think of this thing, well, he knocked you off your high horse. And it doesn't say anything about a horse. It just says they fell to the ground. I liked that Brother Dan saw that detail and brought that out last week. Because that's true. If it wasn't a horse there, it didn't matter. He could have been traveling on a horse. I'm not making a doctrine here. I'm just simply saying they fell to the ground and he heard a voice. And he saw a light and he was blinded and he couldn't see. Was that blinding to protect him or was that blinding to judge him? If you see the glory of the God, I thank you. Do you look up into the sun? That's dangerous, isn't it? But if you put sunglasses on, good ones that'll filter out, you know, whatever God did to him in his eyes filtered out the glory of God for him so that it didn't destroy him. Just a spiritual thought. Paul, an apostle, here he's right to the Galatians. He went there once. We're going to see in this narrative that he's going to go to Jerusalem. That doesn't happen till Acts chapter 15. 14 years he's going to tell us his personal story. You know, I know that some of you maybe have a recollection of Galatians and have a good recollection of Galatians. It's going to put all those little markers, those time markers, in perspective for us. After 14 years of being on the mission field, he goes to Jerusalem and he meets the apostles and they write him a letter. We look in the book of Acts and it says it. And he takes the letter and he takes it back to Antioch and all the people are so ecstatic. This revelation that Paul walked in all those 14 years on his mission field, he's thinking, he tells you here, well, I never met with the apostles. All those years, was I preaching the right thing? You have to know you're preaching the right thing. Jesus Christ raised from the dead. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You have to know you're preaching the right thing. And that he saved me by his grace. His grace, and I'm saved by faith. We're going to talk about all that as we go through here. This is a setup, right? So he says to them, after his second missionary journey to them, this has been many years now down the road, we know that there's false teachers and false preachers going around. I say that many times. This was the battles that he had to face everywhere he went. And we'll see clarity on that when we go through Galatians. The Apostle Paul is well aware of the false teachers, distorting things, changing things, adding things. It's Christ crucified. There's one faith. There's one hope. There's one baptism. There is only one. There isn't another way. He is the only way. You're not going to add anything to this for you to be any more saved, any more healed, any more blessed than what he has made you. It's all about Jesus Christ. Let's keep going here. Paul, an apostle, not sent from men, nor through the agency of man. No agency set him up. No agency gave him a ticket. Through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. In this letter, look how far he got. He didn't even get one verse and he's already preaching the gospel. And this is what our life needs to be like too, but let me keep going. And all the brethren who are with me. He's not in jail. I'm not saying anybody has ever suggested this, but I'm just making it clear. He's not in jail. He's a free man right now. He's writing this letter to them because there's something that's bothering him. If you read commentaries, you'll see that commentaries will tell you, some of them, Paul was angry with the Galatians. I don't believe that, but anyway, he had concerns. He had concerns for everybody. Why would you turn your back and walk away from Christ? This is a concern for Paul, that they're standing firm and standing strong in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit that has delivered them. Brother Dan has been on this and on this about the Holy Spirit, especially this phrase. Are you aware that the Holy Spirit is living in you? Do we forget? I wonder, are we less sensitive to that or more sensitive to that? The Holy Spirit was here yesterday in our meeting of what we were doing. And there was something in me, in my spirit, that was sensing there's anointing here to pray for people and to lay hands on people. Just, what do I know what outcome it was? It wasn't me. It was others. But I believe that the Spirit of God will bring change, deliver captives, break chains, bondage in our minds, in our thoughts. It will bring them down. It will tear walls down that keep us back from the full maturity and potential that we have in Christ. This is what Paul was concerned about. Let me go a little farther. To the churches in Galatia, there was quite a few. Derbe, Lystra, Iconium. These are all churches. These are all cities in the Galatia region. This is where he went in his first missionary journey. When he got back from Jerusalem after 14 years of preaching on the mission field, that took a few minutes to go down to Jerusalem and secure a letter from James. He wrote a letter. As soon as he wrote that letter, at the end of chapter 15, he takes off again for the mission field. The details are going to be in here. Remember the detail about the, oh yeah, Barnabas, let's go back on the mission. What? Should we take Mark? Oh no, we're not taking Mark. That's in here, if you care to look. Stand by, we're going to get there. It's kind of enlightening. I've never read this in a book, but sorry. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He's still preaching the gospel. Who gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from this present age. What did he do for me? Do I stop and dwell on that? How important is that? It's very important. This is a wicked age, the age of the natural, the age of the flesh. That's the age we're living in right now. The age of sin and stealing and killing and destroying. This is the age that we're living in. Sickness, disease. This is the age we're living in. That next age to come is not going to have any of that. This is a glorious age that we're going to step into. It's according to the will of God. See, this age that we're going to, we've been brought out of the world. We've been transferred into the kingdom of heaven. This was according to the will of God, the Father. To whom be glory forever and ever. God glorified himself in his Son to deliver us from a world of sin, a world of darkness. He's still preaching the gospel to them, reminding them the central core to what God is doing in the earth today. Delivering humanity, purchasing a people for his own possession. That's what he's doing. Now, why does it get confusing? Well, here we go. I'm amazed. This was his concern. I'm amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you. See, if you want a hold of that, if you want some of that, or some of that, if you would like me to properly enunciate my words. Poor Janet, she's reeling. If you want some of that, if you want some of that, you have to hold on to Christ. Hold on to Christ. Don't let it go. This is the encouragement that I'm getting out of here. Him who called you by grace of Christ for a different gospel. Paul is well understanding. Now watch, he'll clarify this more. Don't get lost in this. Paul is declaring that whatever y'all hearing, it's different than what I brought you. It's a different gospel. Well, how is it different? Let's keep moving. It's really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. We can't distort the gospel of Christ. This is what causes people to become shipwrecked. It's distorted in their eyes. They don't see the purity and the simplicity of the gospel. The gospel is pure and it's simple. And when you add to it, like, oh, you have to be circumcised, or you have to follow this tradition, or you have to follow these days, and you have to do this, and you have to do that. Paul talks about this in most of his epistles. This is how you have to please God. You have to jump through this hoop, and you have to jump through that hoop. That was never the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. He clarifies that as he goes. Watch. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what you have been preached to you, he's to be accursed. That's very strong, if you don't mind. I'm not going to like sleep on that word, but that word accursed is a very strong word. I think in the Catholic world, they call that, just had the word in my mind and it went away that fast. When, say it again? No. But yes, in Greek, yes. Oh, he's like, I know. We'll pray for that shoulder, brother. In Jesus' name. They excommunicate you. Excommunication, that's what this word, but yes, that word is that Greek word as well. Anathema, excommunicate, they have nothing to do with you. If they preach another gospel, as we have said before, so I say again, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you have received, he is to be anathema, as Sister Kate said. Excommunicated. Listen, this is interesting. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Well, that arrests me right away. What about my life, when I live my life, when I encounter people? Am I trying to be favorable to you? Am I trying to live my life to please you? Eye service? Or am I trying to please men? Am I trying to please God? Am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. That's going to cause a problem for you. You're going to be filled with the Spirit of God. You're going to have the life of God in you. You're going to encounter people. You want those people to have what you have, and they kick you to the curb. Because that's what happens. Some receive. So that's why we have to keep trying. We have to keep, because who knows? A spirit of light and revelation may come upon them, and they see it and they accept it. But if you don't ever say anything, if we don't ever step out, you won't know. You won't recognize the power of God. You won't see it working in your life. You won't see anointing working in your life if we keep our mouth shut. Because we're trying to please men. Oh, I don't want to get you upset, sister. I won't say anything. See, love doesn't do that. Love will reach out. Love is not afraid to get a scar. It isn't. For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me, and actually Barnabas was with him, but he doesn't include him here, strangely, not according to man. I did not get it according to man. I didn't go to Bible school, and they taught me about the, you know, what Christ did and how he suffered on the cross, and he didn't learn it from that. This is fascinating. It's like, how did Paul get this? Stand by. And no, he didn't go to three. He didn't spend 3 years in Arabia figuring it out. That's coming up. Stand by. It wasn't according to men. For I neither received it from men, nor was I taught it. Well, how did he get it? No man taught him this, Janet. I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Remember how he fell to his knees when the light came upon him? And they picked up and they led him to Damascus. They led him into the city in Damascus. And this is the narrative now, if you don't mind. And there he is in a place, in a house. Saul, you in there? This is Ananias. God appeared to me in a vision. I'm elaborating on the story a little bit. Forgive me, please. God told me I need to come and pray for you that you might receive salvation and the Holy Ghost and that your eyes would be open. I'm elaborating a little bit. Go ahead and read the narrative. You know it. I'm not butchering it too bad. This is what happened. This was real life. Ananias, He knew him. Oh, God, did you know what he's done, right, to my friends? He puts them in chains and he locks them up. There's no way I'm going. But he did. See, he pondered it. He thought obedience is better than sacrifice. So when he went, God's power appeared and the scales fell off his eyes. Fascinating. For you have heard, Paul's already been there. He's already been there twice, as a matter of fact, to Galatian region. For you have heard of my former manner of life in Judaism. That actually raised a question in my spirit. I'll just throw this out to you. I don't really think he talked much about his history too much because he mentions it here. That wasn't his primary message to these churches in Galatia, how he was a Jew and how you need to accept what he said and how he used to persecute. He's reminding them here, now you've heard of me. I don't think he spent a lot of time on that portion of his life. He was only spending time on the portion of his life that was now revelation to him and how desperate in his heart he was to see people come to Jesus Christ. That's what I think drove Paul, to be honest with you. But nevertheless, again, that's not a matter of doctrine. It's just perception of the scripture. He has to mention this. Now, you've heard of my form. Who'd you hear it from? Well, probably everybody. Paul was pretty wicked. He was pretty ruthless. He was pretty thorough in everything that he did. That Paul was a zealot. Why did he got picked for what he did? We'll meet him at the end of chapter 6. We'll meet him in Stephen's defense in the entire chapter 7. And at the end, he's holding the cloaks of the people that are stoning Stephen to death. And there was a young man, Paul, Saul of Tarsus, holding the cloaks of those who stoned Stephen to death. Paul saw it. Stephen's message, his history message, his historical rendition of the children of Abraham that we see in 7, it's amazing, was Paul's first message he preached. It was interesting. Go look at it yourself in the book of Acts. For you've heard of my former manner of life in Judaism, how I used to persecute the church of God, straight from the horse's mouth. This is what Paul's saying. Beyond measure, I tried to destroy it. He's telling this to these saved people that he's already witnessed to and has been around to their towns on at least 2 occasions. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions. These are the added things that you think you can add this to the gospel. No, you will distort the gospel if you try to add the ancestral traditions to the gospel of freedom, of life in Christ Jesus. If you try to do that, you will fail at it. You'll distort it. But when God, who had set me apart even from my mother's womb and called me through his grace, he was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. Steve, God was pleased to reveal his son in you that you can go out into the world and to preach him. All of us here, he was pleased to put his son in you, Katie. That made God excited. He's pleased. He was pleased to do that. And Pastor Bill had messages regarding that. It pleased him to put his son on the cross to suffer and bear the shame, to drink the cup that I was supposed to drink, the cup of judgment for the world. It pleased him to give the cup to Jesus, and he said, I'll drink it. That's an interesting study in itself. These cups that God has throughout Scripture, the cups, what are these cups that he passes around? And there was a cup of judgment. You are in it. I am in it. The world is in it. And Jesus drank that cup for me. Thank you, Lord. But when God, who had set me apart, even from my mother's womb, had to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. This is interesting, straight from the horse's mouth. I did not consult with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem. Yeah, I remember hearing that when I was in Jerusalem studying the law under Gamaliel. I remember hearing that. Let me run to Jerusalem and see if I know I understand what's going on here before I do anything for God. Let me run and get a diploma. Sorry, I'm just saying. It's by revelation. If you have opportunity to get diploma, fill your walls up with them. There's no problem with that. Just don't distort the gospel of Jesus Christ with all your knowledge and all your understanding and all your wisdom. I didn't immediately consult with flesh and blood, nor did I go to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went away to Arabia, would you please finish the sentence, and came back to Damascus. I went away to Arabia and I came back to Damascus. That's where he was. When the scales fell off his eyes, he was in Damascus. He said, I went to Arabia and I came back to Damascus. How long did that take? I don't know. But it's not the 3 years that we're going to run into. But again, I'm not on any kind of soapbox here. I'm just saying, let's read the scriptures straight from his mouth, and he's telling his eyewitness testimony of what he has done. He went away to Arabia and returned once more. As a matter of fact, well, I won't go there. I'll go there later because this is fact. I went away to Arabia and returned once more to Damascus, all one sentence. Then, 3 years later, I went up to Jerusalem to become acquainted with Cephas. This is plainly written in the book of Acts. What happened? In several places, actually, in the book of Acts. He was in Damascus preaching and teaching in the word. What happened to him there? They were ready to kill him. So what did he do? He climbed into this little basket on a rope, and they let him down through the window. And where did he go? It tells us where he went. We don't have to guess. He went to Jerusalem. He spent time in Damascus until they almost killed him. And then he went to Jerusalem. He spent almost 3 years in that area of Damascus and in that region and in those cities preaching the gospel that he didn't find out from man. He got it by revelation. And he says, I stayed 15 days. It didn't take him but 15 days to get into so much trouble. 15 days. Really? 15 days. He got into so much trouble. Barnabas put his arm around him and said, we got to get out of here. This is in the book of Acts. You can read it. He took him to Tarsus. That's what Barnabas did to him. As you follow the narrative in the book of Acts, and it matches with this storyline. But I didn't see any of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. This is what happened to him in Damascus. Peter was not there. John was not there. This is the point, right? But I didn't see any of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now, this is really stirs me up. Now, in what I'm writing to you, I assure you before God, I'm not lying. This is the truth he's saying straight from his mouth. Then I went to the regions of Syria and Cilicia. All right, open up the map, look at Syria, look at Cilicia. What's there in the middle? Tarsus. Where did it say he went when Barnabas took him? Back to Tarsus. This is following the same narrative as what the book of Acts says. This is Bible study time, okay? This is what we're doing. We're examining the scriptures. We're seeing how does Paul's relationship with Galatia matter? What was in the heart of Paul that even made him want to go to this region of Galatia when God sent him and Barnabas out in the beginning? This is Bible study. This is what we're seeing. They've abandoned that. He's writing them a letter to find out what's going on with them. Here we go. I was still unknown by sight to the churches in Judea, which was in Christ, but only they kept hearing, he that once persecuted us is now preaching the faith which he once tried to destroy. And they were glorifying God because of me. Oh, he's on our side now. I don't mind saying there's been a few Democrats that I like, that I've always liked, and all of a sudden now I'm thinking to myself, why do you stay over there with them peoples? They switch parties. And I say glory to God for that. But I'm not trying to be political with you. I'm just trying to say when people come out of a camp that you don't think they should be in, and they come into a place where they're far more useful. Far more useful. You can fight the good fight when you're over in this camp. Well, let me get out of that. So let me go a little farther. Now, what happens between chapter 1 and chapter 2? Only they heard that he tried to destroy, and they glorified God because of me. All right, here's a big time gap right here. Then after the interval of 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along also. You know, Titus isn't even mentioned in the book of Acts. But this shows us that he was with Paul in the book of Acts. So when did he go up to Jerusalem? Book of Acts plainly tells us. It's not that hard. He spent 14 years on the mission field. He hit this region of Galatia and several other places, several islands, finally working his way back to Antioch. And when he was in Antioch, we are now at chapter 14 at the end in Antioch, and they're glorifying God because the Gentiles are being saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. And everybody in Antioch, where the explosion of revival had previously happened and has been going on for years, were all rejoicing because there was both Jews and Gentiles in Antioch hearing the word of God and being filled with the Spirit. This tells us that his first missionary trip took 14 years. And when he went to Jerusalem, watch what happens, taking along Titus, it was because of a revelation that I went up. I submitted to them. I said, look, guys, this is what God has done. This is what I've been preaching. This is what I've been teaching. And God's been miraculous. He's been baptizing in the Holy Ghost. He's been giving sight to the blind, raising the dead, whatever. All those miracles that had happened in all these cities, likely most of it was never recorded. The goodness and the graciousness of God into all these cities. They heard the true gospel of Jesus Christ. He gets back to Antioch, and certain men rise up, and this was Paul's clue, that people were trying to distort the gospel. And he says that the Gentiles want to be saved, they have to be circumcised. Paul wasn't standing for that for a single moment. Barnabas was on his side at the time, not standing for a single moment saying, if you have to do this to be saved, then it's not through grace, by faith. Bless you. It's not through grace by faith. It's something else. And it's not something else. It's the grace of God. And it's faith. That is the only way for salvation. You can, what if you want to add more to it, it's like, wouldn't you want to be baptized? Yes, let's be baptized. It's obedience. It's symbolic. It means that I'm coming out. I'm dead to sin. I'm raised up in the newness of life. See, it's a picture of what's happened. And yes, as Brother Dan's been preaching to us, there's this second thing, this baptism of the Holy Ghost. He even brought out recently when Paul, near this time, when he was coming to Ephesus, he met some certain disciples. And he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you've believed? Well, they believed. They were saved. They understood that. Probably ran into Apollos. If you remember, Apollos was getting people saved everywhere. Apollos was becoming a name in the area. Paul didn't meet him face to face yet, but he knew of it. He was preaching the gospel, teaching the word. He was skilled in the word of righteousness. Apollos was a fantastic individual. Paul had no problem with Apollos, but he didn't know about the Holy Ghost. He was only familiar with John's baptism. So that's another story. Let's go a little bit farther here, and then we'll wind this up. It was because of a revelation I went there for fear. I was concerned that I might have been running in vain or had run in vain, but not even Titus. Though he was a Greek, was compelled when Titus was with him, when Paul and Barnabas were in the council of the elders, the council of the other apostles that were here in Jerusalem, he said, Titus was with me. He's a Greek. He wasn't even compelled to be circumcised. But it was because of the false brethren secretly brought in, these people that are disturbing Galatia right now were a part of this crew that were distorting the gospel of Jesus Christ, going behind Paul, going into the various churches. Paul fought this battle constantly. But that the truth of the gospel might remain with you, he would make it clear through his letters. It says, spying out, sneaking in. This is what deception is. It's sneaky. Deception is sneaky. There's some deceptive things going on in our culture right now that is sneaky, trying to sneak into the church. I won't name them. I'm just simply making a point. You know that this hasn't gone away. It's not a new thing. We're familiar with the devil's schemes. He's sneaky. He was sneaky in the garden. He was sneaky everywhere you want to read about him in the Old Testament. Sneaky. They want to spy out our liberty. They're sneaking in to spy out our liberty. You have a liberty in Christ Jesus. You're not under the burden and the subjection of the law. If you walk in love, you are fulfilling the law. The love of God that is put in your heart by the Holy Ghost, you will walk in the light. You're not subject to the law any longer because you're filled with the love of God. You're not going to cause harm to your neighbor. You're going to do good for society because that's what love would do. You're driven by that. Let me go a little farther. But we didn't yield into subjecting them even for an hour so that the truth of the gospel would remain with you. But from those who were of high reputation. Listen, he's not throwing shade on the apostles now. He's just making a point. Those who were of high reputation, what they were makes no difference to me. God shows no partiality. Well, those who were of reputation contributed nothing to me. They didn't tell me anything that I didn't already know. Christ crucified. My sins are forgiven, raised from the dead, sits at the right hand of the Father. There's a judgment that's coming. There's an end of the world. They contributed nothing to me. He knew everything that they would say. Don't think that sounds arrogant. You know what you know. That's it. You know what, do you know? This is such a simple thing. He knew everything that they had shared with him. But on the contrary, read chapter 15 of the book of Acts. This is where he's at in his life right now. On the contrary, seeing that I have been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter, this is chapter 15, of the book of Acts. Just as Peter had been to the circumcised, listen, for he who effectually worked for Peter, this is the grace of God, this is the Holy Spirit of God, effectually worked for Peter in his apostleship to the circumcised, effectually worked in me also to the Gentiles. The same Holy Spirit that operated in Peter everywhere he went, operated in me everywhere I went. God is not a respecter of persons. And recognizing, this kind of thing is what brought me to Abundant Life Center. I'll be honest with you. Recognizing the grace that had been given me. We hang with people in churches, whatever. Is there grace exuding out of their life? Do we recognize it? Do we call it what it is? The grace of God working on the inside of them. Let me finish up here. They recognize the grace that has been given to me. James, Cephas, and John, see, all three apostles were there. Those are the ones he named anyway. Who were reputed to be pillars, gave to me and Barnabas. This is Acts 15, 100%. This is where this happened. They gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship so that we might go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcision. Now the last verse, and I'm finishing with this, was a pillar in Paul's life and ministry. It seems ridiculous that this little verse would be here, but it's there for a reason. Watch. They only asked us to remember the poor. What was his response? The very thing I was eager to do. Paul had it in his heart to help the poor. That's why he wound up in Jerusalem when he was arrested. He was bringing offerings down. I'm going to go to Rome, but I'm on my way to Jerusalem right now. I have an offering to bring down there to help those who are in need in Judea. That Paul never forgot the poor. We should never forget the poor. We have a food pantry here. We reach out and try to help people when we can. Some people know about it, some people don't. This is part of the living gospel of Jesus Christ, that we help people. We help one another. We sow the word in our heart. We help one another. We help in the world where we live. Father, we thank you for any opportunities, any doors that you open for us. We know that it pleased you to cause your Son to live on the inside of us, and that we carry the living Spirit of God on the inside of us. And as opportunities come, we speak out the word of deliverance, the word of liberty, the word of salvation through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You took the cup away. You wrote our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. And Father, we'd like to see others' names being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So thank you for those opportunities. Lord, melt their hearts. Give us the key to their heart to unlock whatever bondage that they may be in. In the name of Jesus, amen.